Now, one of the ways you can protect yourself against some sort of a cyber attack, we'll have a little look at that now. I've been talking about it on and off for the last few weeks, is my little acronym PREFABS. Maybe you can just chip in, Kevin. Maybe you too, Martin, if you want to, on these various letters. The first letter is P. That is for passwords. I'm suggesting what you do is you use complex passwords, all of them. Choose around about 10. Use the first 3, 4, or 5 for your more important accounts. That is to say, ones like internet banking, for example, PayPal, this sort of thing. Anything where, you know, it is actually going to make a real difference if someone hacks that password, takes it away from you. And then use the others for the less important. So you may have one which you use for lots and lots of different accounts which you don't consider so important. And just make sure you've got around about 10 in total. Change them now. Right, it's quite a good time to change them because we've been given all these warnings about cyber attacks from Russia, which have started, to my knowledge, last June with the Bilderberg conference, and then when we're rolled out through the US election campaign, Jens Stoltenberg from NATO said there's going to be a terrible cyber attack, blah, blah. Now, this could all be fear-mongering, but now is quite a good time to do it. Also, when you keep lists of your passwords, write them down. Don't photocopy them because photocopiers can be used to scan for information, and that could, you might find that you're compromising your passwords by allowing a photocopier by just photocopying it. Also, if you have an internet service provider, an ISP, specific ISP, ask them to send you or even go and pick up 10 passwords. Triodos Bank do this. They give you little passphrases and you say, I'm going to use the next passphrase, please, over the phone. So you're not compromising your password by talking about it over the phone. You're just saying it's password number 4 now, please. And you can do this with your internet service provider if they're a good internet service provider. If they don't do it, you might consider switching to one that does. So that's another thing you can do with passwords. Anything more to say on passwords, Kevin?
No, that is a sensible suggestion. You know, keep the vital ones radically different and keep them to the, what you think is serious.
Okay,
that's a good suggestion.
Now, real privacy, that's R in prefabs. You can use GNU PG, GNU PG, or PGP, which is a very high level of encryption. This was a program put together by PGP was by Phil Zimmerman years ago, and he was actually prosecuted because having secret information sent over the internet, the US Pentagon said that could be a weapon of war, but he won his case, and so it's well worth using that. If you'd like to send messages to people which are encrypted, you have a passphrase, which generates what's called a key pair. So you send the key to someone, they use your key to encrypt your message, and then you can email it to someone, and then they can decrypt it at the other end. The other quite useful thing about these real privacy programs, GNU PG or PGP, is you can actually use them to wipe disks. So if there's a disk you've got which you don't, there's information on there you don't want anyone else to get their hands on, you can properly wipe the disk. So the information can never be recovered from it if it gets into the hand of someone whose job it is to recover information from disks. So that's R. On to E, email accounts. I would suggest pay for one, at least, email account. Don't just use free email accounts, and get one which has got phone support. So you can pick up the phone and speak to somebody on the other end who's going to help you, rather than just have some kind of horrendous online messaging thing where people don't even necessarily speak the same language as you when you're trying to get support. So phone support, even, you know, sort of normal office hours phone support is quite adequate. Also, have a free email account, maybe a Yahoo account or something, for your junk mail, so you can use that anytime you're having to register for something which you know is going to send you a load of junk mail. Use a free email account for that. That's quite a good thing to do. Okay, so that's E for emails. Now F for your firewall. Now, there are plenty of firewalls out there, but at least it creates a bit of a wall to make it difficult for anyone on the outside to get into your life on your computer and your private information. One of them is called Outpost Firewall, Agnetum Outpost Firewall. I'm not sure if that's still available. That's one that I've used, which was built in St. Petersburg about 10, 15 years ago, and it still seems to work very well. But what it does is it says to you, your your computer is trying to do this. Is this you? Do you want it to do it or not? And so you can decide what connections you're making with the outside world and what you're not. Okay, so that's F for firewall. A for air gaps. Off internet computer. Have a computer which is not connected to the internet. In fact, maybe never connected to the internet since the day you bought it.
If you have an issue, you know, a real serious privacy or security issue, that is extremely important thing to do. Like, one of the ways of cutting off the bad guys is to unplug your machine. The one thing they can't do is get into a machine that's got no plug in it.
Well, they might be able to do that through the processor. Apparently, sometimes the only way to really keep your data safe is to keep it in some kind of Faraday cage. Mm. In fact, that's what intellectual property people now do. If you've got a patent of some sort, the only way you can keep it, apparently, is inside a cage. But certainly, keeping your computers off the internet is one good way to at least help guarantee and make it difficult for the bad guys, as you call them, to get into your world. Smart devices are not smart, folks. Smart this, smart that. It's just no load of rubbish. Smartphones particularly, there's no proper protection for information that's on a smartphone. I mean, there are various apps that I've had on mine which I've had to deinstall because it's just blocking my ability to make phone calls to people. These things are wide open, so don't keep any kind of important information on your so-called smartphone. And also, A, that's air gaps. B is for backups. Buy a 3 terabyte drive for about £90, put everything on it, and in fact what you can do is just use one folder, so copy all the files into a single folder. Then you can see you haven't got loads of duplicates, loads of directories, and you can find stuff if you need to in the future. So make sure you do your backups, folks, before the NSA Vladimir Putin attacks your computer. That's B for backups. And S for software, consider using Linux, that is open source software, Red Hat or one of these other things, which also you can have a what is called a Windows emulator on it, so you can run Windows on it, but Windows itself is running on top of Linux, or an old version of Windows, which tend to be a lot better than this appalling thing, Windows 8 and Windows 10, which try to update themselves. It doesn't actually feel like it's your computer anymore. Windows has taken over. You try and start your computer up, as I've had to do for Skype TV interviews, and the computer says, no, I'm not starting. I'm going to do a load of updates now, and it takes half an hour for the computer to actually start. So it's not you're not in control that computer, so don't use Windows 8 or Windows 10, maybe Windows 7, but certainly the best, if you can, is to use one of these open source things, and don't upgrade. You can use all sorts of old versions at oldversion.com. So that's it, prefabs, PREFABS. Kevin, that's any good last words?
The other thing you could do is don't use a internet supplier which has a criminal indictment for stealing data and intercepting emails.
Isn't that all of them?
Microsoft is one of them. Apple's another. Facebook.
It's not easy, is it, to navigate this world?
If the Western media had explained the two court judgments to their readers, they would be a very different situation, I think.
Anyway, it's time to hear about secret societies now from Jakub Zaki. Sorry we won't be able to hear all of this, but I will make sure it's on the podcast uploaded later tonight, the whole of it, because he was absolutely fascinating. Walking into the bus stop, he opened up as a whole new individual to me. Jakub Zaki.
Secret societies and subversive movements, Ernesta Webster. The curious thing that most of the books on this subject are written by women. The other one by Miss Stoddart, obviously Scottish, and she did two books on the subject under a pseudonym. They're all about the Masonic connection with revolution.
With the French Revolution, for example, what are the Masonic connections with that?
Many of these societies or clubs, like the Jacobins, in which the conspiracy was hatched, were in fact Masonic. But the whole thing begins in Germany with the Enlightenment and Moses Mendelssohn. And then it was transferred to France, oddly enough, the channel by which these conspiratorial notions for the overthrow of monarchy and its substitution of a republican form of government, many of them were aristocratic. And this, of course, we can see the influence of Rousseau and of Voltaire, but particularly Rousseau, because he was the idol of the 18th century aristocracy.
So what has this all got to do with the Enlightenment?
Well, the Enlightenment is a movement that is still going on. I mean, all the political parties in Britain and on the continent are derivatives of the Enlightenment. They believe in meliorism, that mankind is advancing toward a better future. And so that explains the background to the American Revolution, which influenced the French Revolution, because the American Constitution is the ultimate Enlightenment document. Sovereignty resides in the people.
And does it?
I don't think so. No Muslim would believe that. According to Islam, sovereignty is a prerogative of God.
What's wrong with monarchy?
Well,
according to these people.
Yeah, well, according to them, it's much easier for them to take over a state that is non-monarchical in structure. They are secret societies who operate behind screens. And this is what makes them dangerous.
Is there any these sorts of societies in places like China?
Well, the East is the home of secret societies. We must remember the triads are probably the greatest secret society in the history of the world.
How long do they go back?
The triads go back to the time of the Ming. They were overthrown by the Manchus, and the Ming supporters congregated in the south of China in the Canton region and proceeded to intrigue against the new rulers, the Manchus. But, of course, you have not only them, but the Yakuza in Japan, who are possibly the most dangerous of all, but by contrast, they are ultra-monarchical.
Well, what years are we talking about?
Well, the Ming dynasty collapsed at the beginning of the 18th century. So the Triads are very deeply rooted. They have at least two centuries of history.
They're also quite similar to the start of the Illuminati.
Yes. I don't think there is any connection between them, but I would say that there is a connection between the Illuminati and the cult of the assassins in the Middle East, and the vehicle by which the concept secret society reached Europe was in fact the Crusades, specifically the Templar Order, which was a secret society par excellence, and as you know, they founded the international banking system. They invented the traveller's check.
How does that link with the assassins, though?
The assassins were an extreme group of Ismailis. Ismailis are the seveners, as opposed to the twelvers. Orthodox Shia believe in a succession of 12 imams after the death of Muhammad. But for the Ismailis, this stops with the seventh imam, Ismail. And they themselves divided and subdivided and redivided into a multiplicity of sects, one of which is the Assassins. And you know there is the famous film about it, starring that famous Israeli actress, Angels and Demons. You've possibly read the book.
Is there any relevance for today with all this?
Well, I think there is, yes, definitely. In fact, they have penetrated the Catholic Church itself in its inner councils. P2 and the strange hanging of that man under London Bridge. And, of course, who's behind the British government? I would think it's some possibly not just secret, but satanic organisation.
So have you got any evidence for that?
The only thing I can think of at the moment is what two of my students said to me. Michael Bentine claimed, not in my presence, but to two of my students, that his son was murdered by the Wilson gang, who sabotaged the plane in which he was flying. And the reason was that he had found out the address of the coven in Switzerland, and they were practicing Crowleyan magic, which is not traditional magic. Remember, Crowleyan magic is performed in the nude and therefore is linked to sex, which traditional magic, of course, is not. It sounds very sinister.
Well, it sounds a bit outlandish. You know, is this really still going on in the world today?
What else can explain these recent events, like the wars in the Middle East? I believe all this began with the Boer War at the beginning of the 20th century, and the same people who are behind that war, that is the international finance, the banksters and the financiers, are behind all the subsequent wars, and they themselves are linked to secret organisations, like the Bushes, for instance, were in the Skull and Bone Society.
That's Jakub Zaki. That little chat at Bristol Bus Station. Kevin, what do you make of this?
The richest and one of the largest secret societies on Earth,
Connection,
which issues its own passports and all sorts of things, are the Knights of Malta. And at six of the last CIA directors have been Knights of Malta. I wonder why.
So what about connections with other secret societies? Are they the sort of... Because I think, am I right in saying the Templars and the Hospitallers ended up as another Knights of Malta?
The Knights of Malta are the heirs to the Knights Templars and to their fortune. They have no accounts, but you will have noticed that Pope Francis has recently sacked the head.
Interesting, right. Who's really in charge? Anyway,
he's trying to be.
Time to sign off for the Murdoch News at 7, coming up Arabian Nights. Thanks to our guest, Jeff Gollop, in the first hour. Our sister show, Dialects, here at BCFM at noon every Tuesday with David Lowe taking us through March. Our show page for your comments is thisweek.org.uk. I'm on Twitter at Tony Gosling. Binny Quain's art show tomorrow, 10 till 12, and Danny Lopsch Sunday evening at 8, or 7 till 8. Do please join us for Steve Satan's politics show at the same time next week. I'll be back in April, inshallah. God bless, and don't let the banksters get you down.